Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Producer Dave, stop it! You're doing it to me on purpose. Now I'm not going to be able to get my taxes done this weekend. No! Give in to the temptation. I have willpower. The kind of willpower that allows me to resist the chocolate until after I work out. Though, can I be honest, on my birthday, I had a cookie for breakfast. A double chocolate chunk cookie. After I had my eggs, I thought, oh, that cookie would be so good. So I felt like it was my birthday and I was allowed to have a cookie for breakfast if that's what I wanted.
Why not? Yeah, whatever you want.
It was delicious. And so now, as you are tempting me with Star Wars music and lines, and those are from the more recent movies, the more recent trilogy, I'm tempted, but I got to do my master's first. Master's and taxes first. Maybe.
These aren't the droids you're looking for.
If I get through with my taxes, I will reward myself with a movie night once the master's and the taxes are done and filed on Saturday. There, that's the deal that I will make with myself. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're halfway through our final show of the work week. Do you know this time in 2 weeks, we'll be talking about the first round of the NFL draft. It will be in the books. So April, it's flying by just like the months of March and February and January on through the last year. It's been pretty crazy. And friends and family have asked me, how's work going? When I heard from them around my birthday, and I tell them, we're in the final week of what has been a crazy four-week stretch with March Madness and the tournament, NFL free agency, of course, draft prep, the start of Major League Baseball, and now the Masters. And there's kind of a brief, I wouldn't call it a pause. We'll call it a slowdown in sports calendar terms for just a couple of weeks here. The draft then takes over at the end of April for 3 days, and then early in May, what happens? We get into the final stretch for the NBA and the NHL, and we've got playoffs that start mid-May. So they typically start around this time, but they've been pushed back about 5 weeks. So that gives us a little bit of breathing room, though there's never a dull moment. And I'm glad, because this time last year, there were plenty of dull moments in sports. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need an expert to help navigate the home loan process, Rocket can. One round of the Masters in the books, Justin Rose has a 4-shot lead on the rest of the field. It seems like every time I look up, I see Jordan Spieth crashing a ball into a tree. He was in the pine straw a whole lot, and yet he managed to salvage a red number as well, a -1. This was a Masters first round in which the course was the superstar. There could be rain. The greens may get softer, but on this Thursday, this first day, the course itself was the headline. And so we'll see what changes moving forward, because there is rain. There is actually some stormy weather in the forecast, and that could change how the scoring looks. But if you compare it to November last fall, when we saw the 2020 Masters take over Augusta National, 53 golfers under par, more than half the field under par after the opening round. On Thursday, only 12 finished under par. Nerd alert. 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line, 855-212-4CBS. On Facebook, easy to find us, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. There's a post about the evil empire that features the emperor himself, and many of you are weighing in your sports world, in your sports kingdom, in your sports fandom. Who is the evil empire? And it can be one man or woman. It can be a team. It can be an owner. It can be a sport. For me, I feel like Major League Baseball, as in the collective owners and the commissioner, are turning into a bit of an evil empire right now. And I explained that last hour. So we're going to get right back to your calls here and lots of good answers. Although we get our typical ones, the Yankees, I've seen a little bit of the Red Sox, not as much because they're kind of pathetic right now, but the New York Yankees for sure. Also the New England Patriots, although it's kind of funny because it's different after they're coming off a losing season and Tom Brady's just won a Super Bowl ring with another team. It's actually, I think, created some kind of a sympathy for the New England Patriots. Not much, but a little bit for the Patriots themselves. Not for Tom Brady. He's still probably closer to being the evil emperor than the guy who's fighting with a lightsaber, though he did that earlier this week in Florida. He and Pedro Martinez, I was jealous, they were fighting with lightsabers at Disney.
Don't nobody likes the Patriots.
So that's the question. Who's the evil empire in your sports world? Before we get back to your answers, I got to lower my voice here. We're going to keep this just between you and us. We're going to keep this on the DL because apparently it's not making the rounds yet. Or maybe I'm just looking in the wrong places. But I asked producer Dave this because he lives in a different place. He has different social media habits, different sports consumption habits. Has anyone seen the story in either Sports Illustrated or USA Today or anywhere else where the story was picked up that details the police report about Tiger Woods' accident? Because I feel like there's one piece of information in that report that for some reason has not turned into clickbait yet, and I don't know why. Now, you all know over the past 48 hours, if you were listening to this show or if you follow sports, you're on social media, the cause of Tiger's crash was revealed to be speed, excessive speed. And the LA County Sheriff, Alex Villanueva, released that information after he got permission from Tiger's camp. Whatever the reason, they had to get permission from Tiger to waive privacy laws so that they could reveal the cause of the crash. And according to the sheriff's department, the case is closed. There are no citations being issued, even though he was going nearly 90 miles per hour. I was telling Dave during the break at the top of the hour, I once got into an accident, single car crash. It was just me. I was coming down a really large hill in New England in a car that Saturn Ion. So it was a smaller car. It did not have four-wheel drive. And it was a snowstorm. I shouldn't have been driving. I should have stayed in put where I was. But I had been working and I wanted to get home. So I thought I would drive. Coming down this really large hill, I wasn't speeding. I wasn't even going the speed limit. And the back wheels of my car hit a rough patch of snow or ice and spun around. I did a 360. And then another half turn, it was pretty scary hanging on for dear life there, and ended up slamming into the center median of this highway. Thankfully, there was nobody else around because it was a snowstorm. And I was pointed up the hill, the wrong direction. And so I remember I had to call 911. My car was a little banged up, but thankfully the snow kind of padded my impact on the center guardrail. And the car, I don't remember if the car was drivable or not. I think it actually was still drivable because I had to follow the police officer to a local parking lot. I did get it towed home, but I did follow him off the highway. Anyway, he gave me a ticket. I wasn't speeding. I wasn't going anywhere close to the speed limit. I lost control of the car in a snowstorm, but he said, technically, when you have an accident and you're at fault, a ticket needs to be issued. Now, that was in Connecticut, not in California, so maybe their rules are different. Tiger didn't even get a ticket. And so it's neatly put to bed, this investigation. And yet, with the investigation, the case being closed, the police report has come out. It's now public. And there are media outlets who've requested information and who've asked to see it. And so they've been granted access to it. I saw a couple of different headlines on Thursday evening as I was prepping for the show and kind of going through various websites and looking at what was happening. And the headline for Sports Illustrated is Tiger thought he was in Florida. Okay, I mean, that's I guess, clickbait. I didn't read it right away. I felt like, sure, he's disoriented. He didn't even remember driving. So, yes, he might have thought he was in a place where he wasn't. I wouldn't be surprised if he hit his head and was just kind of out of it. But we know he wasn't operating the vehicle correctly because he was going 87 miles an hour. And then instead of braking and steering, he hit the gas. So he was definitely disoriented. So it didn't surprise me that he maybe thought he was in a different place. Then I finally open up the column for Sports Illustrated and then later the one on usatoday.com. And as I'm reading through it, there is another revelation in the report that I'm surprised is not the headline. I got to be honest. I am stunned. This is not what everybody's talking about on a Thursday night, Friday morning. And I'm going to read it verbatim from USA Today. Something very similar was written in Sports Illustrated. In fact, I found multiple outlets so I could confirm the information. An empty pharmaceutical bottle was found in a backpack at the scene of the crash with no label or indication of what was inside it. Now hear me. I'm not telling you it's the cause of the crash. I'm not telling you that. I'm not telling you that Tiger was on something. He was under the influence. We already know the sheriff's department is very staunch in defending Tiger and defending its decision to not seek a blood test or not seek the results of a blood test because they do not believe there was any signs of impairment. Okay. I still think it's odd, but they were sure there were no signs of impairment, even though now looking back, we know he thought he was in Florida, and we also know he never made any attempt to brake or to steer the car. This comes out of the report, and it's a quote. Had Tiger applied his brakes to reduce his speed or steered to correct the direction of travel, he would not have collided with the center median, and the collision would not have occurred. If you look at the report, there is a map that shows the path of Tiger's SUV. There's no steering. There's no correction. He wasn't attempting to get back onto his side of the car. After he went over the median, he just kept going straight. It's a straight shot right into the tree and down into the ravine. He never tried to steer out of it. So we know that he hit the gas instead of the brakes. And I've said to you, I've done that before, not when I'm going 80 miles an hour, but I've done it before just in a, you know, you're parked and you hit the wrong pedal and whatever. That to me isn't crazy, but never steering, never freaking out and trying to jerk the wheel back to the right so that you're not crossing over into the median, the center, and the other lanes. I'm just reading the details, okay? I'm not telling you that I know what happened, but it seems like that alone would indicate Tiger wasn't, either he blacked out or he was completely disoriented or something was wrong. Because most people, even if they're freaking out and they're panicking, start jerking wildly at the wheel. To do nothing when your car is careening out of control seems like something had to be wrong. But the case is closed. So again, I'm not telling you I have any shocking revelation, but what I am saying is, how is this not the headline? With all the speculation right after the accident, given Tiger's past, fair or unfair, there's an empty pharmaceutical bottle in his backpack at the scene of the crash. It's got no label. We don't know what was inside it, which then leads to the question of, was this pharmaceutical obtained without a prescription? All right, so these are just questions. I'm just throwing questions out there. But how is this not the clickbait? The clickbait is that Tiger thought he was in Florida? No freaking way. The clickbait, if you're trying to get people to open your column and read it, is empty pharmaceutical bottle found in Tiger's backpack. And yet, that wasn't the clickbait. I'm kind of surprised, given what we know about social media and just the media in general these days. That wasn't the headline. But it's in both the stories, and it's in the report. His blood pressure was too low to administer any type of pain medication. So his vitals were all crazy. They found no sign of impairment, but they did find an empty pharmaceutical bottle. I don't know if the two things are related. I cannot jump to those conclusions. We can't. The sheriff's department never checked his blood. I don't know. That seems suspicious to me. That there's an empty pharmaceutical bottle found, and still you're not interested in knowing whether or not Tiger was under the influence of something? I get it. Maybe because it's a single car crash, you don't think it's necessary. And we're going to have to go with the report. He was speeding. He lost control of the vehicle. There was no sign of impairment. But in this world in which we live, how is that not the headline? Am I the only one who thinks that's strange? Dave, did you see anything at all about empty pharmaceutical bottle in Tiger's backpack?
No, it is not the headline of any of the outlets, of any of the stories.
Isn't that strange?
I read the same story as you did. It's the third paragraph down, like you said. And it's almost amazing that that's buried, essentially, in the middle of the story. It's not like it was removed completely.
Mm-mm, it's in
from
there.
The story. It's there. You can
but
read
you have
it.
To read it. And how many people actually read if there's no scintillating clickbait headline?
I think the over-under is like one scroll down the page right. After that. Who's scrolling more than once? And that's where you get the story. I don't know. It's pretty wild. I don't want to make any accusations.
No, we're not doing that. There's no way to know. And what the we're going to go with what the sheriff's deputy said. He wasn't under. He didn't show any signs of impairment. But, I mean, there are a lot of people who wondered that, so I'm just kind of stunned that this is not all of a sudden the headline. There's an empty pill bottle in his backpack. It could have been from 3 weeks ago, right? It didn't. It doesn't mean he was under the influence at 7 o'clock in the morning on that. What was it? A Monday? It doesn't mean that he was on his way to work. He was going to play golf with Drew Brees and with Justin Herbert. So he may have been completely fine, but he wasn't. Something happened. That he thought he was in Florida, and he never steered or braked the car.
It's weird that there's no tire marks, no attempt to brake.
Yeah, just gosh.
And the number one reaction from most people, and it's obviously complete speculation based on his history, was that he must have been drinking or under the influence of something. So that was just talking to people before mm-hmm. we had all the details.
I still see tweets about it. Do we really believe he was just speeding? Come on.
Yeah. And then I was surprised that they didn't request a blood test or drug test.
Right, a lot of people were.
Nature. I'm still surprised after all of the things that you see. And there are police officers that understand and have seen how many crashes where there's no tire marks, no attempt to brake. That person must be, I'm not a police officer, he must be asleep, passed
something's
out,
wrong.
Something.
Yeah, that's not normal, exactly. Again, there's no way that we're ever going to go back and find out unless Tiger at some point down the road has different information to share. And the LA County Sheriffs have closed the case. It's just stunning to me that in the media world we live in, this is not the headline. Because this is the type of stuff that social media eats up. The type of speculation and headline that creates all kinds of clicks. And I'll be honest, if I had seen this headline on social media instead of the one that Sports Illustrated put out there. So I'll find the tweet and I can read it to you. But I saw it. Like I said, I saw it earlier when I was paging through Twitter and I was kind of looking at what was out there. And the headline, I'm pretty sure for Sports Illustrated's tweet was, and there was a link to the column, if I can find it here. Here we go. This is the headline for Sports Illustrated to ask you to read this Tiger Woods crash report. He reportedly thought he was in Florida when a deputy interviewed him at the site. The headline on USA Today is collision report reveals Tiger's confusion and low blood pressure. You have to go to paragraph number 3 to see about the empty pill bottle. I mean, I don't know. Maybe these outlets are in the business of trying to protect him.
It seems that way.
It does seem that way, doesn't it?
Because in this world that we live in, you're more likely that headline that you were looking for with the pill bottle is the headline and the whole story. And that's it. Just period, one sentence. You're
even
more
if
likely
it's not
that
fair.
That's the case.
Right,
exactly,
even if it's not fair.
Than burying it halfway down the article.
Just really fascinating to me. Case is closed. There's no more investigation. Only Tiger knows what Tiger was doing or if the crash investigation, the crash report is not accurate. But I am stunned that no one's talking about that. And that's not the headline for either Sports Illustrated or USA Today. I hope it wasn't that, but we'll never know.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
This is kind of a milestone potentially for Kimbrel, looking for his 350th career save. A bouncer foul. The Pirates are down to their last strike. The stocky veteran reliever fires. Swing and a miss. Strike three, and the Cubs win the ball game. Craig Kimbrel was magnificent, and the Cubs beat the Pirates 5-2. Ron, we've been watching Craig Kimbrel now for, this is his third season in a Cub uniform. He may have had a better save at some point before today. I can't remember a better one than this one here today.
Let's take a moment to appreciate just the greatness of Craig Kimbrel and what he's been able to do over the course of his career. 350 saves is truly remarkable. To come in there in the eighth, get the final two outs, and to, you know, come in the ninth and just make it look easy. He's a special one, and we're fortunate to have him. And he's going to climb the ranks, especially with the stuff that he still has. He might end up being number one at the end of the day.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Jake Arrieta singing the praises of Cubs closer Craig Kimbrel, and you hear the call of his 350th save. Pat Hughes on the Cubs radio network. And along with that, I think it's important to note that Kimbrel struggled through a couple of pretty tough seasons, pretty tough campaigns, and is now here sitting at 350. But the last 2 years were rough for him. And so at just 32 years old, how many more could he have in him? Well, that is the question, but also one that I think we're not going to know the answer to. And we can't even really speculate about it until we see what Kimbrel does the first half of the season, if he's going to have some consistency to his pitching. Right now, he is 12th on the all-time list. And there are a couple of guys that are very much within his grasp, so to speak, if he can find a groove with the Cubs this season. He's 12 with 350. Troy Percival is an 11th with 8 more saves. And then Jeff Reardon represents the top 10. He's at number 10 with 367. So it would be a really impressive season or even half season for Kimbrel if he could jump into the top 10. Then you've got Joe Nathan, one of my favorite pitchers of all time. Joe Nathan at 370. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Jonathan Papelbon is number 9, just one ahead of Jeff Reardon. Joe Nathan is number 8 at 377. So those guys would be within reach of Kimbrel if he could get into a groove here. He's the only active player among the top 20 in Major League Baseball all-time saves. So he's going to be able to march up that list without any real competition behind him for now. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Can I tell you a fun mistake that I made in my eagerness to get to vacation? I've been saying the NFL draft is 2 weeks away. It's actually 3 weeks away. And the reason why it matters, outside of the fact that it is the NFL draft, is that I start vacation right after the NFL draft. And so imagine my disappointment when it dawned on me it's not 2 weeks, it's 3 weeks. And I was writing my CBS Sports Minute about the Falcons and was like, oh, you dummy, it's not 2 weeks, it's 3 weeks. But whatever, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, they're going to go fast. 855-212-4227 on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Our Facebook page, too. Who is the evil hire for you as a sports fan? Let's talk to Kevin, who's in Wisconsin. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Amy. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you. Thanks for everything that you do for us here. First off, I wanted to say when the Cubs clip there, old Pat Hughes was Bob Uecker's sidekick for over half of my youth. And so whenever I hear a Cubs highlight with Pat Hughes, it makes me feel warm and fuzzy from the 80s and probably early 90s when it was Pat Hughes and Uecker together.
Yeah, he's awesome.
But the real reason I was calling was kind of the Tiger Woods situation. Like I was telling the producer guy there on the phone that the real hypocrisy that's got me even before the pill bottle news was if any one of us jumped a curb and smashed into a tree going 35 or 40, especially at any hour, really, like a blood test, it would have happened, a hair test. I mean, to say that if any one of us was for sure going, just the inequities of famous people or maybe even, you know, people with money and what they're able to get out of when it comes to situations like this. Like you're saying, you've got a ticket in Connecticut. You weren't even doing anything except for sliding down a hill, right? So, I mean, it's hard to think that anybody with a history or no history going 45 over and no breaks, I mean, there's no one almost in the world that wouldn't have had a blood test taken on them right there. So,
well, I agree with you, but you and I, we know, we live in a world where people are treated differently, money is treated differently, celebs are treated differently, and no doubt this LA County Sheriff's Department has dealt with a lot of celebrities in these situations. And I'm not saying it's ethical. I'm not saying it's right or wrong, whatever. It just is what it is. It's the United States of America, and people with a lot of money get perks that the rest of us do not. So, living in the world that I do, where athletes make millions and millions of dollars, and I can't even fathom that, I get it. I understand it. Not all people are treated equal, but you are absolutely correct. If it's anyone else on the planet, and it probably would have been good for Tiger Woods to have, well, he knows whether or not he was under the influence, but the fact that if he was, and that's why the accident occurred, and this is a problem that needs to be dealt with, I think it's better that it comes out because it would force him to deal with it. Now, I don't want to, again, start any rumors, only that if the guy thought he was in Florida, how is that not a sign of being impaired, right? I mean, how is that not a sign of he doesn't know what's going on right now?
Amy, if you were to hit a tree at 45 over and they were to ask you where you were and you picked a state on the other side of the country, I mean, that'd be the first thing they'd give you is the blood test, right?
Yeah, you would think so. So it's unfortunate, I think, that they didn't do that. Again, if it's true and he was driving under the influence, Tiger needs that to come out so that he is, you know, he's not in denial. If it wasn't true, though, it also helps him because then it wasn't about the pills or something else that he was under the influence of. I just am stunned that the empty pill bottle wasn't enough to signal a blood test, right? I mean, they took a blood test. It wasn't enough for the authorities to get it. It's a freaking empty pill bottle. It's like having an empty beer bottle or an empty bottle of liquor in your car.
Exactly.
Interesting. All right, Kevin, thank you for your phone call.
Thank you, Amy. Thanks for everything.
You're welcome. Let's quick work in Richard, who's in Indiana. Richard, you got a couple of minutes. Go ahead.
Yes, good morning.
Morning.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with the situation that if you got a lot of money, you get treated differently. And I go back to the Bob Kraft situation where he got caught at the massage parlor, and there was a couple weeks in the news, and all of a sudden everything disappeared, and then couple weeks later, the district attorney says there aren't going to be charges filed. And in Tiger's situation with the empty pill bottle, I'm 64, and I'm like most people getting up there in age where you've got that little plastic pill case with 7 days a week in it. And when I go to work, I take the pills for that day and put it in an empty bottle, prescription bottle, to carry in my pocket. And if I were to ever get stopped and have to present that to the cop, I'd have a lot of explaining to do, but I surely don't want to carry that big thing of pills with me. And I don't know what Tiger's situation was, but
it could have been nothing, right? It could have been aspirin. We have no idea what it was. It's odd that it's empty and it's got no markings, and that didn't raise a red flag.
Right. And I'm holding the bottle right now in my hand. And I too, when I put my pills in it, you know, I peeled the label off it, you know, and I'll carry it with me for a couple months. When it starts getting dingy looking, I'll throw it out and get another one, you know. But I just think that the statement you made about people that have money get treated differently is very true, because had that been I that went over that cliff at 85 miles an hour, I probably would have gotten a ticket for reckless driving.
Right.
But thank God Tiger wasn't killed and nobody else was involved in it. So have a good day and enjoy your vacation and go Buffalo Bills. Thank you.
All right, Richard. Good to talk to you. I mean, full disclosure right now, I'm not sure what the case is with producer Dave.
Hold on.
I have what is in my bag. It's a full pill bottle, and I travel with it everywhere, and I can tell you exactly what's in it. It's marked with ibuprofen. It's an old ibuprofen bottle, but I carry it with me all the time. It's got omega-3, fish oil. It's got daily vitamins. It's got vitamin C. It's got vitamin E. I've got a couple Tylenol PMs. I've got a few aspirin. I always have aspirin with me. And honestly, there have been a lot of times in my life with coworkers, guys who don't always carry aspirin, who will say to me, hey, you got a couple of aspirin, a couple of Advil. And so I carry it with me all the time. It's mostly vitamins, but and so I get it. Just saying, like, if it was empty and there was nothing in it, now it is marked ibuprofen. But I would expect that there'd be questions about an empty pill bottle in my possession if I just took out a tree going 75 miles per hour. I would expect that kind of question, right?
Yeah, listen, I'm currently holding two prescription bottles just because I have allergies and I take them every single morning.
He does sneeze a lot.
It's true. I take them every single morning as I'm leaving the studio because it takes about an hour for them to kick in, and I take them about an hour before I'm going to sleep, mm-hmm. before I leave. So that's I have all the labels on them. I could tell you exactly what they are. They're not expired. They're not unlabeled. I don't know.
Let's just say it's aspirin. Maybe it's aspirin. But
it could be.
Couldn't the authorities determine that and release that information?
Could be Flintstone vitamins.
That's true. Gummies. It could be gummies. Or he could have been carrying, what else would you carry in a pill bottle? I mean, you could have been carrying
little chocolates. Who knows?
Yes, they are convenient if you have little things to carry. Marbles. Okay, on that note.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast. Listening to After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Tom is listening in Boston. Tom, welcome to After Hours.
Hi, Amy. Just want to tell you, I'm a big Patriots fan, and when they got Bill Belichick, I was beside myself. He has got to be the worst coach in history, and the only reason why he might even go to the Hall of Fame is because of Tom Brady, the greatest quarterback in the history of football. Any coach would have won 10 Super Bowls with Tom Brady. He stinks. He was crabby in Cleveland. He's been crappy.
Crabby or crappy?
Yes, he is.
He's definitely crappy.
Crappy. And if he plays another year with Bill Belichick, they're going to be catting him up in a stretcher.
Tom, I hope that you feel better after getting all of that off your chest. I disagree with you. I guess we'll just leave it there. But thank you so much for listening and for calling.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
He's got to be happy now that Tom Brady is no longer with Bill Belichick, the guy who's dragging him down. And, you know, they would have won 10 Super Bowls in New England if not for Belichick. 6 wasn't enough. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. I will tell you, between Twitter and Facebook, the most popular answer for the evil empire in sports right now is either Tom Brady or the Patriots. Now, the Yankees are a close second. And what does that tell you? We have sports hate, which essentially is jealousy when these teams are winning all the time or in the headlines all the time. And we feel like it's unfair and we wish that was our team. When was the last time the Yankees won a World Series? It's been a while, producer Dave.
2009.
See, it's been over a decade. Can we just all get along and say the Yankees are in a sad kind of stretch here? They deserve another ring. I can't actually say that with a straight face, but maybe there's somebody out there that will have a tear for the New York Yankees.
You know what I think it is? I think that they hate the Yankee fan who expects to win the World Series every single year. I don't put myself in that category as a Yankee fan. I think I'm logical, but I think that people don't like the Yankee fan. And I've had friends who are Mets fans and other fans just, they've said that before. So I think it's more about the fan base, not so much the team and the organization.
That's the case a lot. I'll be honest. There are a lot of teams that I know when I talk about them, I'm going to get all kinds of comments that are just annoying and rude and obnoxious on social media. All right. On Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, who are the evil empires in your sports world? And again, we've got a lot of Bill Belichick, a lot of Tom Brady, a lot of the Patriots and the Yankees, but there are others. This post on our Facebook page from Bagsy Baker. In basketball, the Cleveland Cavaliers. In football, the Manchester United. Ooh, I like it. Those rivalries die hard. And he says in the NFL, it's the Patriots. But he only lists 2016 to 2018. So maybe a younger sports fan. It's not even really when they did all of their damage establishing themselves as said empire. Jamie on Facebook goes with Alabama. Ty says Dallas Cowboys, thinking they're still America's team. Mark says, I cannot stand Michigan, the Wolverines, go Bucks, referring to the Buckeyes, not the Milwaukee Bucks. And then another guy responds with go Blue. And so, yes, you've got a definite rivalry between Ohio State and Michigan. Eddie goes with the Duke Blue Devils. Dave on Facebook, definitely the Toronto Maple Leafs. I would cheer for Dave. He says I would cheer for North Korea. Come on. Before I would support the center of the universe, or so the Maple Leafs think of themselves that way.
Seems uncalled for.
That does seem a little bit extreme. Really, Dave, you need to take a step back and think about what you're saying. Eric says, Seattle boy, the 49ers are fun to hate, but the Cardinals are real close. Bob says the Longhorns. Keith goes with Patriots and Darth Belichick. Now, see, the Patriots are going through some really tough times right now. Can we cry for me, Argentina? The Patriots are struggling, and they've just turned into this team that spends all this money, a spending spree in free agency. Let's see. Lenny, as a Met and Jet fan, no doubt the Yankees and the Patriots. Oh, boy, that's terrible. Casey, the Dodgers are the Sith Lords, period. And then one more. This one's fantastic from Justin on Facebook. Rangers fan here, not the New York Rangers, the Texas Rangers. So the evil empire is the Astros, but everyone hates them, so it makes it even better. Well, that is true right now. You might as well enjoy it while it is the case.
Oh, boo-hoo. Like,
855-212-4227. We'll get to some of your tweets as we head through the rest of the show here. But Q is listening in Detroit. Welcome to After Hours.
What up, though? I love the show.
Thank you.
You are awesome. I just want to comment on Tiger Woods. As I dissect this, I got a security company. I've done public safety. And anytime it's something high profile, all of the PR stuff, it gets run up the flagpole. So I'm sure the chief of police is waking up out of his sleep or wherever he's doing, the commissioner, the mayor, all of the big boys got to come in and run damage control. So you might find a pill bottle. You might find all of this stuff because that's your protocol. But nobody wants to be the one to get in trouble with their bosses because you're talking about somebody like Tiger, who's as iconic as he is and beloved as he is, he has, like they say, the comedians say, he has giraffe money. So you're dealing with something way above your pay grade, but I would want to see what's on the body cam footage if they even turned it on. You know, they could make a show out of this.
Interesting. You're right. And it kind of dawned on me too, Q, as I was thinking about it and listening to you. What's the point of giving the man a ticket, right? Does that even bother him at all? Maybe it's the principal, but Tiger Woods, giving Tiger Woods, what, a $200 ticket? I currently have a $200 ticket to pay myself. Ouch. It hurts me. I've actually been putting it off for as long as possible. But yeah, I don't know that Tiger Woods even feels a ticket. I don't have any personal experience with what you're saying, Q, but I do believe that you are right. This type of a high profile case, there's no way a sheriff or a sheriff's deputy are operating autonomously without sending it all the way up to the guys who make the decisions that infect the bottom line.
You're definitely right about that. And also, you remind me of my wife.
I hope that's good.
Oh, that's great.
Okay.
You might put anything in a pill bottle.
Marbles!
The breath mints, all kind of stuff. When they give it, you know, I hate to say it, but because insurance is so high, we got to make phone calls up to the aunties and grandmothers. Hey, my tooth is hurting. And they put a couple pills in for you. They don't keep the label on. They just give you what's there. So sometimes you like the way the top opens better than
No, I agree. Top. I agree with you, Q. My point is only that this is in the police report, and somehow there are a bunch of media companies who didn't turn it into the headline. I'm not telling you it's the reason Tiger crashed. There's no way for us to know that. It's not fair to do that after they closed the case. We know Tiger was speeding. We don't know why he was speeding like he was, but it's not fair to say without any proof that Tiger was under the influence. That's not fair. My only point is that there's an empty pill bottle in his backpack, and it's not like anybody's talking about it. It wasn't even a headline yesterday.
You're exactly right. Or, you know, with everything swirling around, a lot of stuff could have got looked over and missed. Because
you're right.
Even though you can definitely be starstruck and, you know.
Tiger Woods.
You
Who
got
doesn't?
Somebody like Tiger.
That's Tiger. That's true. All right, Q, I got to let you go. But I'm glad I remind you of someone that you love. Thank you so much for listening. And thank you for calling from Detroit. 855-212-4227. 855-212-4CBS. Michael's got the trifecta of evil empires. Alabama, New York Yankees, and the Dodgers. If you put the Duke Blue Devils in there, and I feel like you're just cheating. You're just piggybacking. You can't hate everybody.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.